Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and four things up for review this week. First, there's the new spy thriller film, Argylle, and then there's the egg-freezing comedy, Scrambled, and two animated films in Orion and the Dark and The Tiger's Apprentice. First up is a new film called Argylle, and it is directed by Matthew Vaughn, and I'm a pretty big Matthew Vaughn fan. You know, I love Kick-Ass, I love the first Kingsman film, I even like the second Kingsman film. You know, I think he did a great job adapting Stardust, but the important thing to note here is that he didn't write Argylle, and I think that is probably where a lot of some of the issues lie. It's a pretty uneven spy thriller film. I like the concept a lot. The idea is that Bryce Dallas Howard plays this character called Ellie Conway. She is an author who has managed to write this series of spy novels starring, you know, this fictional hero who's basically like a James Bond called Argylle, who's played by Henry Cavill, which, let me just point out, Henry Cavill is the most oddly shaped human being I've ever seen. He also has this terrible haircut in the film. It's a part of the premise and plot, but oh my goodness, I was just like, what am I looking at here? But anyway, so this author writes these spy novels, and it turns out that she's a very good writer and that these spy novels are pretty predictive. And so actual spies end up coming to kidnap her or save her or, you know, whatever it is, in order to enlist her help in trying to figure out the end of this, you know, spy plot mystery, etc. Again, pretty good premise, really good cast. Like I said, you've got Bryce Dallas Howard, you've got Sam Rockwell as one of the spy agent people in the real world, Henry Cavill as the fictionalization of Argylle, John Cena is one of the characters, Dua Lipa, it's got Bryan Cranston, Sophia Boutella, Ariana DeBose, Catherine O'Hara, and Samuel L. Jackson. So again, you've got a really great director and a really great set of actors. The script and the story structure is where it sort of falls apart. Like the first 20-ish minutes of setup, I was like, oh, okay, we get it. There are efficiencies they could have taken. And then when Sam Rockwell showed up, he brought an energy to it that was like, oh, all right, I am now into this. The tone of it is a bit all over the place. You know, Matthew Vaughn is known for his action. I think the action here speaks pretty well. There's this whole gimmick where Bryce Dallas Howard's character takes her cat with her, and it's strange, you get to see like cat vision at some points, which is, you know, it's a little gimmicky. But I think the biggest challenge with this is that it loses itself in the storytelling, in some of the convoluted conceits. You know, it had a premise, but it wasn't quite able to follow through with it. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It feels that long. I think if they'd shaved a good 30 minutes off this and made it like sub 2 hours, it would have been a really tight movie. But because they're adding in all of these like strange, you know, homages to certain bits and pieces, it was messy, but not in a fun way. And so I want you to temper your expectations when you go to see it, because I think, you know, they say, ooh, from the latest film from Matthew Vaughn, and you go, I'm expecting a Kingsman or a Kick-Ass. It's not quite there because, you know, the writer, and this is not to say it's like the most poorly written thing ever. I had some chuckles. I liked the action. But the writer is a guy called Jason Fuchs, who is, I was looking at his credits, and his very first credit is in Flipper as an actor, as a child actor. Now, he's written some other things, but I, you know, not the biggest on them. He wrote the script for Ice Age Continental Drift and Pan, which, you know, this should tell you what we are working with / against here. I don't want to crap too hard on it, but, you know, I left it going, what exactly did I just watch? And I also feel like, and I hope this isn't a spoiler, I feel like the producers, the writers, the studio execs, or whoever, kind of knew this going in. And so they're like, Matthew, we need you to connect this to your other stuff somehow, or like pay homage to your other stuff in order for people to go see the film, which is not exactly the biggest show of faith in the source material. So I think it's an okay film. You know, if you enjoy his other work, I think you'll be able to pick things out of this that you know, that are parallels to Kingsman, etc. Especially Kingsman. It's the closest to Kingsman. You'll be able to pick things out. I think enjoy it, but I want you to temper your expectations beyond aggressively. I am going to give this a 2.9 out of 5, which is a bummer. I was really excited for it, but I think it was just too chaotic for me and not in an exciting way at the end of the day to give it a higher score. I'm going to take a quick break and be right back. And I'm back. The next film I have is called Scrambled, and this one came a little out of left field for me. I hadn't heard a ton about it, but it is written by, directed, and stars Leah McKendrick. Wasn't familiar with her before. She plays a woman in her 30s. She is 34, to be specific. And she, you know, her friends are all going through various stages of life. She is still single. And so she goes on a journey to freeze her eggs. And I think the thing I appreciate the most about this film is that this is something that I feel like people don't talk about enough, and I am an egg evangelist for sure. If you are a friend of mine and I've made you freeze your eggs, you know what I'm talking about. An eggfluencer, if you will. So having, you know, full cards on the table, having gone through the experience myself, there are a lot of things in this movie that I was like, dang, that is very, that's a very accurate portrayal of what it is like. You know, I would hope that my life was not as sort of messy as hers was when she goes through the process herself. But, you know, I also worried because some things were very accurate. Some things, of course, are, you know, dramatized because it is a film. And I want to make it clear because, again, like, I am so pro doing it. The younger, the better. You know, if you can afford it, I'm lucky enough that I was, you know, able to afford to do it. Thank you, work at the time. But anyway, this is a tangent. So it's a comedy. I want to make that clear. It does have dramatic moments, but it is mostly a comedy. You know, it's also basically about a single woman in her 30s finding her way in the world. And so I think it is a little bit evocative of like a single version of Bridesmaids in some ways. Not as strong an ensemble, but I think some of the moments that shine the most to me are when she's with her friends and kind of going through the Rolodex of guys who, you know, while she is doing this process, she's like, well, maybe there's somebody out there who could be, you know, the biological father, I don't have to do this part. But I'm digressing a tiny bit again, which tells you how much I actually enjoyed this movie because it made me think about other things. So Leah McKendrick stars as the main girl. Ego Wodum from SNL plays her best friend. Andrew Santino plays her brother, which, by the way, they're both redheads, Leah McKendrick and Andrew Santino, but they are also mixed, like some sort of Latinx Hispanic and white. And I was like, I've never personally met anybody who falls in that category, but they both look not that, especially Andrew Santino, but, you know, who am I to judge? Adam Rodriguez stars in it. Clancy Brown plays her father, and I think he did such a good / bad job embodying, you know, an accurate job embodying, like, a guy who just doesn't understand how this process works and how stressful it can be as a single person and, you know, especially a woman and the costs and all these things. Again, there are so many moments in this that are very accurate, and I had to think about, do I feel comfortable and safe recommending this to the people who I've also recommended they freeze their eggs, because will this be too triggering? At the end of the day, I don't think so. I don't want it to scare anybody off, but I think there's enough humor and heart in this. It, again, kind of like Argyle, it is uneven, but I think it's much smoother as an overall experience than something like Argyle. Also, I will acknowledge I didn't go in with as aggressive expectations because I didn't know a ton about it. I was honestly expecting it to be pretty bad, but I had a very enjoyable time. It was a nice, fun surprise. So I am going to give this a 3.9 out of 5. But I give Freezing Your Eggs a 5 out of 5. And I recommend that. The next film I have is called Orion and the Dark. And it is an animated film. It is out on Netflix. And it is from DreamWorks. And speaking of the importance of screenwriters, one of the writers of this film is Charlie Kaufman. That is the same Charlie Kaufman who does the very existential, esoteric, neurotic as hell live action films. And so, you know, it works. It works in this. I think the moments that shine the most, puns intended, of Orion in the Dark are the weird kind of, you know, adult-oriented, neuroses-driven moments. It is theoretically a family-friendly film. It is family-friendly, of course. But it centers around this kid named Orion, who is voiced by Jacob Tremblay. He is afraid of the dark and pretty much every other thing in the world, in fact. I was trying to figure out, are younger audiences going to resonate with his neuroses? And I'm sure there are some younger folks out there who are already dealing with this level of anxiety. And I hope that seeing it reflected on screen will help them feel more seen versus just exacerbating their existing feelings towards it. But I cannot speak to that experience. This is based on a children's book by Emma Yarlett. I have not read it. But anyway, Jacob Tremblay, Orion, our terrified protagonist, he has to come face to face with the embodiment, personification of Dark, who is voiced by Paul Walter Hauser, who I think does a very nice job. They go on this adventure, and there's this whole sort of plot about dealing with the entities of the night. So anxiousness, quiet, like unidentified noises, sleep, insomnia, sweet dreams. It was super creative. This is where you can see the Charlie Kaufman coming through in the, you know, being John Malkovich or Eternal Sunshine-ness of it all. And people are like, oh, where's this going to fit in his filmography? It very much speaks to him. Where it starts to get a little bizarre is there's like three different timelines of storytelling. And I hope this isn't a huge spoiler, but at one point we find out this is actually a story being told to Orion's daughter. So we jump forward in time. And then there's a couple of other time jokes. I don't know if those work as well as the core of the story. It reminded me a little bit of Rise of the Guardians when you get all the gang of night entities together in a very fun, creative way. You know, they are voiced by Angela Bassett, Nat Faxon, Golda Rashevel, Natasha Dimitriou, Aparna Nancherla, and then some of the other voice cast are Colin Hanks, Ike Barinholtz, Carla Gugino, and then my absolute favorite one, Werner Herzog is a voice in this. And I thought it was a joke that it was Werner Herzog and like a sound alike. No, it's actual Werner Herzog, which gives this movie so much more street credit in my book. So like I said, it is uneven. That's the theme of the week, I think, is that it's uneven in the storytelling. There are some very funny and existential moments and like some very thought-provoking ones, actually, in terms of perception and fear and all that stuff. So I think it is worth a watch for sure. I enjoyed it. It was deeper than I was expecting. The animation style is interesting. There was an animated movie that DreamWorks was working on for years called Me and My Shadow, or My Shadow and Me, something along those lines. I think it's Me and My Shadow, that had a similar kind of like the shadow was 2D. I feel like they took a lot of inspiration from that and imposed it into Orion in the Dark, not in a bad way. It's also a style I think we're seeing more with like 2D drawovers and things like that. But yeah, story uneven, but enough there that I think it's worth watching. Super young audiences might not get the film, honestly. Like there's some complicated themes in it that I think, you know, maybe like 5 and up. I'm taking a shot in the dark here in that guess, but I think at least 5. But overall, I enjoyed it. It was an unexpected kind of fun surprise, kind of like Scrambled. So I'm going to give it a 3.8 out of 5. And then my last film this week is called The Tiger's Apprentice. And just as a bookend, much like Argyle, I was looking forward to this film. You know, I like the idea of it. It's this boy from San Francisco who meets this spirit of the Chinese zodiac and then, you know, has to sort of fight against evildoers of the world, you know, parallels to Orion the Dark, but Dark is not an evildoer. Anyway, I, you know, like the idea of a San Francisco set because I'm from the Bay and, you know, the Chinese zodiac because there's a bunch of fun mythology there. The voice cast is pretty impressive as well. You've got Leah Lewis, you've got Sandra Oh, you've got Henry Golding, you've got Sherry Cola, Patrick Gallagher, Bowen Yang, Brandon Suhu, Kung Hua Tan, Deborah Craig, and then you've got the one and only Michelle Yeoh. So, of course, if you tell me Michelle Yeoh is going to be in this, of course I'm excited for it. Did not live up to expectations. To start things off, I did not like the character designs and the style of the animation. And I say this with a level of expertise in the area, so I'm not just bagging on it, you know. I don't think it was particularly appealing. Also, I'm just going to call this out, and I hope it doesn't ruin this for people. But so the zodiac creatures, you know, the spirits of them also can take sort of like human shield projection forms. And the tiger version of it is basically the design of Wolverine from the X-Men movies, like Hugh Jackman's character in this like leather jacket. It literally has similar stripe cut, you know, claw marks on it. And I just went, did they literally just look at that and go, we want that, but animated? And so the whole time I kept being like, Wolverine, but a tiger? But also like the characters, this movie conceptually may have been okay. Like I like the idea of the Zodiac uniting. That's about where it ends. You know, the fights were, there were so many montage sequences. The best part of it by far is Michelle Yeoh. And, you know, she actually, those moments do shine on screen. And I was just like, you know, I want her character story. I want her to be the protagonist. I don't really care about this young boy who doesn't have a ton of redeeming qualities. He's not like a terrible person. He's just a teenage boy. And like, I'm like, who cares? Give me Michelle Yeoh all day, every day. The script and the banter and the gimmicks just didn't quite hit home, you know. It's a bummer. I wanted it to succeed. I know how hard it is to make an animated film, but it doesn't quite resonate. It just felt hollow, and like a couple of key moments that resonated, but everything else kind of fell by the wayside. So unfortunately, I'm going to give The Tiger's Apprentice a 2.5 out of 5. It's not a super long film. I want to say it's like 90 minutes as well, or, you know, an hour and 40, and it still felt incredibly long. And that's always kind of a frustrating experience. So I just want to warn folks. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.